So this morning we're going to talk about gifts. So obviously we're going to be looking at our Romans passage. And we're talking not just about gifts of the usual sort, gifts that, for example, Neela will be getting later today. Today is her 8th birthday. We're going to go bowling. She's been enjoying playing with balloons and such this morning. She likes balloons in inverse proportion to her mother. Heather absolutely loathes balloons, but proving once again that you do for your children things you would never do for yourself. We were blowing up balloons and such. So we're not talking about gifts of the kind that we give each other necessarily. We're not talking about presents that you get at a birthday or as part of the Christmas celebrations. Rather, we're talking about spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts are one of those things that come up frequently when I'm preaching and when I'm talking to people because they're so important. And not just because they're important, although that's worthy of conversation, but because they're such a critical component of the church. That without spiritual gifts, we're just a group of people who get together. And it's not that groups of people who get together don't accomplish tremendous things, because of course they do. Service groups of all sorts, community organizations that get together and put up playground equipment and raise money and all of those things. People in a group moving in the same direction can accomplish tremendous things. But what Paul is talking about here and what Peter talks about in his letters, and as we see in various places in Scripture, spiritual gifts are something, well, there's something more. And there's a few things that we should, in a sense, make clear before we start talking about them. The Romans list of spiritual gifts, let's not forget, is not an exhaustive list. What Paul has in Romans 12 is not all the spiritual gifts that exist. You need to put together other spots. In 1 Peter, Peter talks about spiritual gifts and what they might be. And there are a number of scholars, not just people who are making provocative statements for the fun of it, who suggest that the list that we have when we put all of these together still isn't an exhaustive list. That there are more spiritual gifts than what are specifically named in Scripture, which I don't think is unreasonable. If nothing else, one of the things that isn't noted in there is the gift of worship. And those who can lead others into worship in a way that is beyond what just musical talent or speaking talent is, I think is something that we need to pay attention to. So this isn't an exhaustive list, and so we'll hold that sort of as a given, if you will, particularly in the Romans passage, because Peter mentions some that aren't here. And the other thing to remember is that we all get gifts, all of us. Spiritual gifts are not limited to a certain portion of those who follow God. Everyone who has a relationship with God through Jesus has a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts. So let's keep that in mind also. Those two things, that we all have spiritual gifts and that there are spiritual gifts that might not appear on this list or perhaps on the other list. And let's just talk about them for a moment or two. And one of the things that talking about spiritual gifts, it's important for us to remember that we shouldn't go overboard on what Paul says in verse 3, where he says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." And I bring this up not because I'm worried that you are thinking higher of yourselves than you should, because that's not an issue in the church, hardly ever. My thing, and the drum I've been banging about spiritual gifts for as long as I can remember, really, is think highly enough of yourselves. I don't know who Paul's writing this to, but when I think of the people in the church that I've known over the years, the number of people who are prideful, who are arrogant about their spiritual gifts or about their place in the church, are such a microscopic proportion of the people in church that I honestly wish he wouldn't have written this. Because people who already are modest in the best sense of the word, humble in the true sense of the word, often use this as an opportunity to make less of themselves than they should. Because Paul is not saying, make less of yourself. He's saying, don't make higher of yourself than you should. And for most of us, this just isn't an issue. For some of us it is, and I'm one of those people. I can very easily convince myself that the spiritual gifts that I've been given somehow make me special in relation to other people. This is a character flaw of mine. And so Paul writes this to me, but not to most people I know in the church. The number of people in the church who will look at the gifts that they have and tell you how important they are is so completely outweighed by the number of people who will exercise their spiritual gifts in ways that enhance the life of the congregation and then minimize them or even dismiss them as nothing. That's the big group. And I want us to make sure that we remember that the gifts that we're given matter. That when you're exercising your spiritual gifts, whatever they are, whether it's one of those gifts that has been given to you that you exercise on a regular basis, because there are gifts that are sort of part of who you are. The gift of hospitality is one of these. Hospitable people make people feel at home. And it's an extraordinary gift. And you all know somebody who has this if you don't have it yourself. These are the people who not only make you feel at home when you go to their home, they make you feel at home when both of you are at some third person's home. That sense of you're included and you matter is a spiritual gift. It's not just the talent of entertaining, which is something slightly different. When those two come together, as they did in the person of my mother, it's an extraordinary experience. But there are people who entertain who aren't hospitable, and I suspect that you've encountered those as well. People who put everything together, and it's not that you're uncomfortable, but there's something different. People with the gift of serving are the kind of people who provide service for you in a way that never makes you feel uncomfortable, that provides service for you in a way that doesn't make you feel that you now owe them something. It's just what they do. People with the gift of faith who believe in such a way that they enhance your belief without telling you things, without lecturing you about how good God is. Just they live their lives in such a way that your faith becomes strengthened when you're around them. These are gifts that seem to be there all the time. There are other gifts that we encounter in Scripture, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. These are things that come when needed. People don't sort of operate in these gifts all the time because, well, honestly, when we get together at an annual meeting or at a church meeting or any kind of a committee, we're fairly bright and reasonably wise people already. Most of the time we make pretty good decisions just on the basis of our natural ability and experience. But sometimes we need something extra. And then the Holy Spirit provides a word of wisdom to some people, and it appears when necessary. The extraordinary thing about a word of wisdom is that it's just about always instantly recognized as something extraordinary beyond someone's experience. And so whether your gifts are such that they're there all the time, or the Holy Spirit imbues you with these opportunities to provide wisdom or whatever it might be, you need to pay attention to these gifts that you have. Because the gifts are given to you, not, as Paul says, to puff you up, but also not for you to minimize. The gifts we get are not gifts solely for us, but are also, even as we ourselves are, gifts to the church. The spiritual gifts that we are given are not given that we might exercise them in a vacuum, or that we might exercise them in private, in solitude, in a sense that they're never going beyond that. The spiritual gifts are given that the church might be built up. And that's why the things that Paul notes in this particular passage are particularly related to the life of the church. If your gift is prophesying, if it's serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing to the needs of others, leadership, showing mercy. These are things that obviously happen in community. And these gifts are the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to all of us, and they're located in individual persons. It's easy for us to lose sight of the gifts that we have, particularly, and this seems to be the case, for those of us who have been in the faith for a long time, who've been in the church for a long time. And it's just like anything else, the relationships that we have or anything. It's easier to take something for granted once you've had it for a long time. And then it's not until something is needed or something strikes us in a new way that we're reminded again of how important it is. Most of us, for example, take the ability to walk for granted until something happens. You think by now I would have stopped doing this myself, but this last week and this week coming up, I will no longer take that for granted, at least for this next period of time. They're not going to do a lot of work on my knee, but they're going to take a look at it. The biggest problem is that I can't take Arthrotec while I'm waiting for this, which means it's going to hurt more. It's unfortunate for most of us. We have to have something that hurts to make us stop taking it for granted. But in the church, I want us to take a moment, one of those thought experiments. And rather than thinking about our own gifts, whatever those might be, I want you to just take a moment and think of any one of the people in the church that makes things happen. And I'm not talking about people who chair meetings necessarily, although that's certainly something worthwhile. But those people who just make things happen, that when it's coffee time and something goes slightly amiss, they just step in and then it suddenly works better. And think for a moment, what would the church be like if they stopped doing that? Not that they left, but they stopped doing that. Or perhaps think for a moment of that person who always seems to know when you need a word of encouragement, whether it's an actual word or it's a smile or it's a warm handshake, whatever it might be, think of that person and imagine for a moment that they just stopped doing that. And then realize that right now somebody's thinking about you, about what it is that you provide. That thing that you do that is so natural to you now, after years of exercising that gift, that it's easy for you to think that it doesn't really matter or it's just something you do. And because it's just something you do, if you don't do it, it won't really make that much of a difference. It will. The gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to the church are all needed. There are no superfluous gifts any more than there are superfluous people. There's no one who worships in this community, whether they're here every Sunday or visiting, that are here whenever they're able. There is no one here that we can do without. And the gifts that you bring, there's none of those we can do without either. People who have the gift of miraculous healing, I've never met these people. I've never met someone like this, but I'm sure they're there. The people who can miraculously heal people, I suspect they are less inclined to take things for granted. And I suspect the people around them wouldn't let them anyway. But the people who have the gift of serving, and I use this one in particular, because it's a gift that's easy to be minimized. It's easy for us to minimize it when we have the gift ourselves, and it's easy for those of us who don't have it to take it for granted. But the gift of serving, I would put it to you as maybe, if I have to rank them, one of the most critical gifts in the life of the church. Someone who serves not from a feeling of obligation, not from a feeling of guilt, not from a feeling of, if I do this, someone will do something for me. But those who serve because this is part of what the Holy Spirit has put into them, and they serve with joy because it's part of who they are, make the church work in a way that is absolutely critical. The people who have the gift of giving, who give from whatever resources God has blessed them with, without the sense that, well, I better give a little bit more to make sure I hit that tax bracket list, whatever it is. Or I sure hope somebody sees how much I'm giving. No, the people who give because they know what they have and they know what they can do and they do what they do because of who they are critical to the church. And it's not that the rest of the gifts aren't. It's not that those who are given the gift of prophecy, of preaching, of these so-called upfront gifts, it's not that they don't matter. It's that it's easier to see when they're not there. It's easier to notice when there's nobody standing in front of you preaching. It's pretty hard not to notice, really, if I don't show up. Not to say that one of you wouldn't step in and do just as well as the Holy Spirit enables. But it's easier for us to not notice when someone isn't serving. And it's easier for us to say that, well, I'm just tired of it. There's nothing wrong with admitting that you're tired of exercising your spiritual gifts, by the way. The Holy Spirit gave spiritual gifts to human beings, not to angels. We're not angels. We're human, we're fully human. There are days when whatever your spiritual gift might be, I think you could easily see it as a burden. It happens. There are days when you wish that somebody else had that gift, whatever it is, so you could take a break, you could have a rest. The thing to remember is that the spiritual gifts are given to the church, just like you are. And in the same way that your absence, your physical absence, leaves a hole, it's not that we're crippled, it's not that if you're not here, the church simply can't go forward, but it's different. When you don't exercise your spiritual gifts, particularly when you don't exercise them because you don't think they're important, it leaves a hole. I am completely dependent on this community of believers exercising their spiritual gifts so I can exercise mine. If those of you with the gifts of giving and serving and encouragement and all of those things that make church so worth coming to just stop doing it, then I couldn't do mine. And if I don't exercise mine, then you're not crippled. Of course, you can come up with other options, but things aren't the same. Spiritual gifts are... there's something we can discuss and we can think about and we can talk about for a long time. Because there's so many of them and what they might look like and how they can be exercised. But if we don't enter into any kind of discussion about spiritual gifts with a firm understanding that we all have them and that we all need to exercise them, then it becomes sort of an academic exercise and it's a little futile. But each of you have spiritual gifts. Some of them, you've had them your entire lives. Some of your spiritual gifts will change over time. You'll move into different areas of giftedness, which means you'll go from something that you know well and can do well and exercise well into something that you're learning. And that's terrific. Spiritual gifts are given to people that they might be developed within them. You're not sort of plunked with the whole range of all that a spiritual gift can do. Which is why sometimes you need to practice them. Work on them. To get better at them. Whatever you might think of my preaching now, good, bad, or indifferent, I can guarantee you it was a lot worse 10 years ago. Because you get better at things you do over and over again. At least one hopes you do. And the Holy Spirit finds new ways of using these gifts. The more comfortable you become with them, the more places you see they can be used, the more effective you become. Spiritual gifts are absolutely critical. I don't know what each of yours are. I got a pretty good idea about some of you. And I'm sure most of you have a pretty good idea about some of yours. You know that you can tell the difference between exercising a spiritual gift and just doing something you're good at. There's something different about it. There's that deeper sense. And it's not that it's more effective in any kind of objectively measurable sense necessarily. But there's something deeper and more significant about it. There are many, many people who are way better speakers than I am, who can't preach a lick. And I know, because I've been a speaker most of my life. And when I first started preaching, I was a speaker. Occasionally a lecturer, frequently dull, and very seldom preaching. We learn as we exercise these things. If God's opening new spiritual gifts to you, and you're not that good at it yet, hang in there. Ask people who might have insight into how you can practice these. And see what they have to say. See how other people exercise the same thing that you think the Lord is revealing to you as a gift. But remember, we have to have your spiritual gifts. And if you for some reason think that your gift is so unimportant that it doesn't matter, you need to remember, and I say this as gently as I can, that you're wrong. Your gift really does matter. We have to have it so that the church can be what God has called the church to be. We all have gifts. All of us. And even as you are a gift to each of us. So the gifts you have are for all of us also.